What is truth? This was a question that Pilate asked Jesus in John 18, verse 38, when Jesus was before Pilate being judged by him as to what should be done with him. Should he be crucified or set free? How did Jesus answer him? Did he say the truth is whatever I say it is? Or did he say that the truth is whatever I want it to be? No, he said neither. We have no record of an answer, do we? Actually, Pilate asked this question in response to something that Jesus said in John 18 and verse 37. Jesus said there after Pilate, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So what is truth? What is this truth that Jesus came to bear witness of? Think on this question this afternoon as we try to answer this question and to talk about who we want to hear the truth from and how we should handle the truth when it comes to our Christian lives. By definition, truth is what is opposed to falsehood or a lie or deceit. Truth is the real facts. It's the real story. When we catch someone in a lie and we say, tell me the truth, we want them to tell us what actually happened. We don't want to hear some made-up story that's so far from the truth that we don't know what to believe. You know, in a court of law, when they swear in a witness, they have the witness raise their right hand and put their left hand on the Bible, and they say, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Why do they do that? They do it to put pressure on the witness to tell the actual truth, to tell what really happened. Because they want justice to be done, or they should want justice to be done. I don't think that's always the case. Maybe I watch too many movies about that. But maybe they really do want justice to be done. And the only way justice can be done is for the real truth to come to light. You know, many times a defendant's life hangs in the balance of justice. Whether they go free, whether they're incarcerated for how many years, or whether they are put to death, depends on whether they, these witnesses say the truth, whether they tell the truth sometimes. Especially if there's not a whole lot of incriminating evidence against those witnesses. Well, do witnesses always tell the truth? No. Probably more of them don't tell the whole truth than do. But when we're dealing with our children and with other people, we want to be told the whole truth and nothing but the truth, don't we? How about when it comes to our spiritual lives? Do we need to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Or will some fabricated story be good enough to base our religious faith upon? Now we look out into the religious world today and we see that's what the majority of the religious world's getting. They're getting a fabricated story that is far from the truth. And it's really very sad because many of those people believe that they are being told the truth and they want to know the truth and they want to be saved. But you know what? They won't go to the length that it takes to search that out for themselves. They listen and they believe what the preacher tells them to believe. And they've heard the lies for so long that the lies have become truth to them. And that's what happens when you trust in men to tell you the truth. So be careful about trusting me or any other person that stands behind this pulpit. Just because we put it on the PowerPoint doesn't mean that it's word for word from the Scriptures. We have the power to click and deceive with the point of a mouse. As you saw what I started out with in the beginning, I made up about what Jesus answered Pilate about what is truth. You see how easy that is done? Did you realize that I was making that up? Sure you did if you know the truth. But many people are deceived by that. Many people listen to what the preacher says and they believe what he says. So who should we listen to? Who is the greatest authority on truth? Who said that he came to bear record of the truth in John 18 verse 37? Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did Billy Graham say it? He's a man revered to be a prophet in the religious world. A great prophet. They've even given him credit for things that Jesus said. Is it Joel Osteen? A man that is a pastor of one of the largest congregations, if not the largest congregations in the country? Was it Joseph Smith, the man that started the Mormon church, who said he was a prophet of God? You know, we could go on and on about naming man after man that in the religious world that have people have great reverence for, and yet none of them said these words. It was Jesus that said these words. He's the only one that we can really trust to tell us the truth. Why? Because he was the living truth. And when he walked on this earth and spoke the truth, he was only speaking what the Father had told him to speak. Look at John chapter 12. Maybe. There we go. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus spoke what the Father told him to speak. And when he left this world, he passed that torch on to his apostles in the Great Commission. And his apostles wrote the inspired word of truth with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we live by today and commonly call the New Testament. Now, if we're to be told the truth, who better to hear it from than the one who lived it? You know, there's an old saying that if you want to get to the truth of the matter, you go straight to the horse's mouth. Why is that? It's because he's the one who lived it and experienced it. Look at John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 37, Jesus says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them again, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In verse 43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Why could they not understand what Jesus was telling them? He was telling them the truth. When Jesus spoke, he told the truth. Was it because their hearts were hardened? Or their ears were waxed gross? Was it because it went against the way they believed? Or was it simply because they were of their father, the devil? Jesus said it was because they were of the devil. Because he had the power to discern their hearts. He further said if they were of God, they would hear what he was telling them. Because he was telling them the truth. And if we're to hear the truth from someone, would we want to hear it from the devil anyway? Of course not. We know how the devil deals in lies and deception. We know how he changes the word of God to make it more pleasing to the ears. This sounds like the way the majority of the religious world operates today. They change the word of God by taking away or adding something to it to make it more pleasing and more entertaining to man. Do they think the whole truth is important? Apparently not. How about you? Do you? Of course you do. That's why you're here. Are they of their father the devil? Possibly. Anything that is not of God is of the devil. What did Jesus tell the Jews in verse 41? He said, ye do the deeds of your father, which he said was the devil. So if we're to hear the truth, do we want to hear it from the Jews? Certainly not. Because we want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so we can be free from sin. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can we? How can we know the truth? Well, Jesus tells us clearly in the previous verse, in 8 verse 31, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. We can know the truth if we continue in his word. The Jews couldn't understand what Jesus meant by the truth shall make you free. They thought he was suggesting that they were under bondage to some man, when in fact he was telling them that they were servants of sin. And the only way to be free from sin was to know the truth. The same holds true for us today. If we're to be free from sin, we must know the truth, and the truth will make us free. If we commit sin, we are the servants of sin. If we do righteousness, then we are the servants of righteousness, and our Father is the one whose deeds we do. The only way to know what to do is to know the truth. If we're going to hear the truth, wouldn't we want to hear from someone who was sanctified by God through the truth? Of course we would. We wouldn't want to hear from someone who claimed to be sanctified just because they went to seminary. Who do we know of that was sanctified through the truth? Look in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 17. Jesus, in his prayer to God for his apostles, said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You know, Jesus sent the apostles out into the world to teach the lost about him and about the will of God. He didn't want them to be ill-prepared to teach his word, so he prayed to God to sanctify them through his word or through the truth. Not only that, he says, I sanctify myself so that they might be sanctified. So if we're to hear the truth from someone, who better to hear it from than Jesus, the living truth, and the apostles who were sanctified through Jesus Christ, the truth? Can we rely on men to tell us the whole truth and nothing but the truth? No, we can't. And neither could Timothy. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we can't rightly divide the word of truth, then not only are we going to be lost, then those that we go out and teach, we're going to lead those to damnation too, because we're going to teach them falsehoods if we don't know the truth. So it's very important that we know how and are able to rightly divide the word of truth. If the truth is going to be told today, who's going to tell it to the lost and the misguided? Are we going to leave it up to the evangelist that we call in here every now and then to hold meetings for us? Are we going to leave it up to the pastors and the reverends, both male and female in the denominational world? They're more than willing to go out and teach their truth. But their truth is going to lead a lot of people astray. Or are we going to take the initiative to be ready to teach the truth when the opportunity arises? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How do we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts? Through study and prayer. How can we be ready to give an answer? Through study and prayer. If we can rightly divide the word of truth, then we can go out and teach everyone about the hope that lies within us. Each one of us is a minister of God. You don't have to get up in the pulpit to be a minister. You're a minister. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a minister. And it's our duty as well as a great privilege to go out and teach the truth to the lost. You know, just being a good example may not always be enough to bring the lost to Christ. Sometimes they need more. They need to be nurtured and taught. As ministers of Christ, we find that Jesus and the apostles have left us some important things that we need to do for us to be pleasing to God. So as followers of Christ, something that's very important that we need to do is to always tell the truth, the whole truth. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy to preach the word, Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What did Paul mean by instant? Well, he wants Timothy to be pressing and to have an urgency about his preaching. And he also, not only that, but he wants him to always be prepared, to be ready. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, Paul said this, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." And verity just means truth. You know, Jesus said something similar to that in John 8 and verse 40 that we've already read, where he said, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." What's going to happen to us if we go out into the world and teach the truth? You know, the Jews, they killed Jesus. And they killed Paul. And they killed most of the apostles. Is that what we're afraid of if we go out and teach the truth? Are we afraid that we're going to be killed as they were? Are we afraid that we're going to be ridiculed by them? What if we were? Is that the worst thing that can happen to us? The worst thing would be if we were destroyed, both body and soul, in hell by God for telling the truth. Why is it so important that when we preach to Christians, that we tell the truth? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. There Paul said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." It's so important for Christians to hear the whole truth so that they won't be like children anymore, that they won't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or deceived by the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness. And for the perfecting of the saints, he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's so important that we teach the truth, the whole truth. Why is it so important that we teach the sinner the whole truth? Look at 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." And listen, "in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who hath taken them captive at his will. It's so important to teach the sinner the whole truth, because their life is like the defendant in the courtroom. Their life hangs in the balance of justice. And the difference between the truth and a lie means the difference in whether they live eternally or die eternally. We must tell the truth at all times if we're to be pleasing to God, to all men. Number two, we must love in truth. Is our love for each other real love? I think it is here. I think we have real love here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." He says, don't love in word. Anybody can say, "I love you." We have to show it. It has to be real love. And he knows the difference. He knows what's in our hearts. He can discern our hearts. Also, in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says, "Let love be without dissimulation," which means not under false pretense. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Our love for each other needs to be real love. You know, when Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the chapter of love, he makes it clear that love must be real and from the heart. Otherwise, it's worthless, and we're worthless. Number three, as followers of Christ, we must contend for the truth. In Jude, verse 3, Jude writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Why did Jude tell them to contend for the faith? Well, he tells us there in verse 4. He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We realize and know what we're up against out in the world, don't we? We realize that we are a small minority when it comes to contending for the truth. The majority of the religious world have twisted the truth around to fit their own lifestyles and to the pleasing of their own desires. If we don't contend for the truth, our number can become even smaller than it already is. It certainly won't grow. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." How many of us are ready to contend for the truth? Is that more than we just think we're able to bear are able to do. If we don't do it, who is? The world out there, the religious world out there, they're not going to contend for the faith, for the truth. So who is? If we don't. No one. Are we going to stand by and let somebody teach a lie from this pulpit? Certainly not. But is this the limitation of our contending for the truth? Keeping somebody from teaching a lie from up here? Or should we contend for the truth out there? That's what God wants us to do, isn't it? He wants us to contend for the truth out there in the world. If we want to lay hold on eternal life, then we must fight the good fight of faith, just like Paul did. And we've all read Paul's letters to the churches. And Paul didn't pull any punches. He didn't water down the truth. And neither should we when it comes to contending for the truth. Number four, we need to promote the truth. Well, how do we promote the truth? Should we advertise it in the newspaper? Should we buy airtime on the radio and television? Should we send flyers through the mail? Maybe we should rent spaces on the billboards. Or how about promoting it on Facebook? You know, certainly none of these ways are bad ideas. We see that the religious world promotes their truth in all of these ways. But which of these ways is the best way? I submit to you that none of these ideas is the best way. The best way is by being a light out in the world. Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Have we been an example to the world by letting our light shine before them? Or have we made this building our bushel? Do we just let our light shine when we're in the confines of this building? Or just when we're in the presence of Christians? If we do, then we're not promoting the truth like we should be. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, Peter says we should behave in an honest way before the Gentiles or those that are without Christ. He says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." What better way to promote the truth than by living the truth out in our lives, out there for the world to see? There is no better way, is there? If Jesus said it, it must be true. In conclusion, this afternoon, turn your books over to 2 John. I didn't put this on the PowerPoint. I want to read this whole little chapter here. There's about 13 verses. Some of them are kind of long, so I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. 2 John. John says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. John gives us much admonition and exhortation in this very short letter concerning the truth. So summarizing what John says here and summarizing my talk this afternoon, we need to live our lives for the truth's sake, being grounded completely in the truth, that we may not be deceived by deceivers that would pervert the gospel of Christ for their own personal gain. We need to love one another as we walk after his commandments, so that we may lay hold on eternal life. And if we're rooted or grounded in the truth, we have both the Father and the Son in our hearts. Can we handle the truth like it's supposed to be handled? Are we willing to go tell the truth to Christians and sinners alike, teaching them to observe the things that Christ taught? Are we willing to love in truth, not under false pretense? Do we prefer to be with our Christian brothers and sisters? Is it an honor for us to be with our brethren? If not, we don't have the love of God in us. Are we willing to contend for the truth? If someone tries to teach a falsehood in our presence, are we willing to contradict them? If not, we may as well have bid them Godspeed. Are we willing to promote the truth to the world by being an example of the true believer? If not, then we're telling the world that we're not true believers. Because a true believer must be a light unto the world. And they must let their light so shine that the whole world may see their good works and glorify God which is in heaven. If we do these things, we prove that we are of the truth, and we're good stewards of the truth. And that's what God and Jesus wants us to do as Christians.